The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's 4 minutes after. Good morning and welcome. I'm John Caldera, in for George Brockler. George is out of town. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Let me give you this story from the Wall Street Journal. I find it fascinating and depressing. Here's the headline. Most Americans doubt their children will be better off, says a Wall Street Journal poll. Dim view of economy underpins pessimism about future and record low happiness in the U.S. An overwhelming share of Americans aren't confident their children's lives will be better than their own. A new Wall Street Journal NROC poll shows growing skepticism about the value of a college degree, well, duh, and record low levels of happiness. The survey with NORC and University of Chicago, a nonpartisan research organization that measures social attitudes, shows pervasive economic pessimism underpins Americans' dim hopes for the future. 4 in 5 respondents described the state of the economy as not so good or poor, and nearly half said they expect it will get worse in the next year. Okay. They surveyed over 1,000 from March 1st to the 13th, largely before the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and the subsequent turmoil of the financial industry. Roughly 4 in 10 cited health care and housing costs as big worries. Nearly 2/3 said inflation is a major concern. No matter how much they increase your pay, everything is going up, said a coordinator for a hospital who lives in Big Spring, Texas. I do fear for the kids. For the kids. All right. You get the general idea here. How about this question? Which of the following best describes your financial situation? 17% say, my finances are in better condition than I expected for in this stage of my life. 17%. 39% said, they're about where I expected. 44% said, in worse condition than I expected. Where would you put yourself in that question? This is the question that got me, and I'm looking at a graph that goes all the way back to 1990 over the years. And it says, ask this question. Do you feel confident that life for our children's generation will be better than it has been for us? Let me just say this again. This is a beautiful question. This is, for me, the American question. Do you feel confident that life for our children's generation will be better than it has been for us? What I love about this question, why I think it's the American question, is that if we keep focusing on this question, everything gets better. Everything gets better. If we build things for our children. They build things for the expectation of getting things better for their kids. And when you build things with a long-term viewpoint, you end up making the right decisions. If you make the right decisions, the world's in better shape. I know the left loves to talk about environmental sustainability. There's nothing wrong with that debate. There's nothing wrong with that conversation. I just believe you cannot have that conversation without first having a conversation about economic sustainability. You cannot have environmental sustainability until you first have economic sustainability, which we do not have. And so if you keep robbing future generations to have nice vacations and pretty television sets today, you're going to have trouble. And that's what we have. And deep in our souls, I believe we know this. You don't have to have a fancy education. You don't need to have a master's degree in economics and monetary theory to know this. People know this. People know we are living in our great-grandkids' credit reports. And I think that's why they answer this question the way they do. Let me bring you back to 1990. When asked the question, do you feel confident that life for our kids' generation will be better than it has been for us? More people said, absolutely. I feel confident our kids' generation is going to be better off than us. Looking at the graph here, so I could be off by a point or two, but over 50% said yes. It looks like 45% said no. So a majority plus said absolutely. Less than 50% said no. No. That was back in 1990. Fast forward to today. If this doesn't break your heart, it should. Close to 80% of us in the high 70s do not feel confident that our kids' generation will do better than us. Close to 20% feel confident that our kids' generation will do better. Think of this. I'm rounding here. It's probably 78 to 22%. So you go back to 1990. And on this key question, Americans believed the next generation would have a better life. And why wouldn't they? Every generation before had a better life, had room to grow, had more buying power, lived longer, had a better standard of living. And right now, American standard of living is incredible. We live like kings. We have every convenience known to man. We have leisure time. We have supercomputers in our pockets. We pull out our supercomputers from our pockets and we listen to any song ever made throughout history. Without even wires, we stick things in our ears and look at these supercomputers and watch art and movies and television shows from an endless catalog instantly delivered to us. Holy schmecky, this is incredible. We press a few virtual buttons on the glass on this computer in our pocket, and within days, sometimes within hours, products are delivered to our doorstep. Press a few other buttons, food is delivered to us in minutes. Or a driver comes up to take us to wherever we want to go. It's science fiction. We're living better than ever. And still we feel that our kids won't do better? Why is that? I'd really like to know why you feel that way. And I have to admit, I don't feel confident that my kids will do better. And I can tell you exactly why I don't feel my kids will do better. You tell me why you feel that way. 303-696-1971. So I'm looking at this graph. I've got it right in front of me. And it shows the pessimism of our future. And it's not just that we're uncertain about an immediate recession. And we don't know. We don't know. And by the way, this poll was taken before the banks got shaky. You know, we've had recessions before. Those are market corrections. That happens. As a guy who has this kind of monetary bug, and I look at monetary policy and I look at fiscal policy, and I see that things just don't add up. I see that the world keeps running on imaginary dollars, and the most stable currency on the planet is ours, and our currency is backed by faith. It's backed by nothing. We print it out of thin air. And only about 2-3% of the money America has is actually in paper, actual dollar bills. The rest of it is just digital. It's ethereal. It is faith-based. So it's easy for the feds to, you know, type on a keypad somewhere and make more of it. And it's all run on faith. It's not backed up. It's not audited. It's not there to say, yep, we have $1 trillion in paper and there's 1 trillion ounces of gold right there. See, 1-to-1. Okay. And as we continue to go into debt and we continue to spend money we don't have, and more concerningly, we continue to make promises to pay out money we don't have and we can't get, at some point, that equation blows up. You simply cannot pay for it. It doesn't last. And some generation, not me, not you, maybe our kids, maybe our grandkids, it explodes in their face. And we did it to them. I walk around thinking about that. This happened on our watch. Makes me feel really, really guilty. That's why I do not feel confident that future generations will do better. Because we set it up for them to fail. We have it good because we spent on their credit card. That's my reason. If you have a reason, by all means, tell me. 303-696-1971. Something different, tell me. Or maybe you do feel confident that your kids and your grandkids' generations will do better than ours. I'd be curious why that is. Huh. This feels about right to me. What do you think? All right, let's go to the phones. Again, 303-696-1971. I think we've got Joe. Hey, Joe, welcome. You're with John Kelly.
Hi, John.
Hey, Joe.
Well, I called to discuss Trump, but I'll answer your question. And answer my comment at the same time. Do you remember the movie Interstellar? Did you watch this?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty heady little science fiction movie.
It was great. One of my favorites. Matthew McConaughey is the lead, and there's a point where they're not going to make it if he doesn't dock with the spacecraft, because not only is he not going to make it, but they're not going to save humanity if he doesn't make it. So he says, "We're going to dock, TARS." And then the co-pilot is like, "What do you mean? Why? Because it is necessary." See, we're at that moment where it is necessary. And you said, you know, why should we not feel confident? You left some things out. We have almost, over 100,000 a year dying from fentanyl overdoses. We have our streets littered with homeless. The economy isn't about to go into a recession. It's about to go into cataclysm, John. The idea that we're just going to have a little bump is a joke. We're about ready to change the systemic way we pay for things. The ideas that, you know, the American dream is available, or we're going to, our posterity are going to do better. Not only is it 80% unlikely, pretty soon it's going to be 99% unlikely. If you took this poll in a year from now, I predict that it would be upwards of 90%. And the reason why is because we're headed towards this Marxist disaster that started long ago, and it was financial, you know, with the creation of the Fed and some other things that happened before that, that have just changed our arc of history from being the world's greatest nation to the world's biggest debtor nation. So here's the thing. When I say it is necessary, let me answer what I think is necessary. I will. What is necessary is that we must get behind Donald Trump in 2024. It isn't about whether you felt bad on J6 and you didn't like his tweets and all these things. You see, there's only two ways to go, TARS. It is necessary.
So the only way to save the planet is through Donald Trump.
You see, the reason why is this. If it goes to the Democrats, we know that's a disaster. If it goes to Ron DeSantis, this is what the Democrats want. They want to be able to control Ron DeSantis, and they will.
Because?
Because Ron DeSantis, A, does not understand what is necessary.
How do you know this?
Thank you for asking. I also predicted
faster. I'm late
okay,
for a break.
I also
faster,
said
faster,
that
faster.
We would. I said we would be going through financial cataclysm a year ago, and I was laughed at. I said that we were going to be on the brink of nuclear war when the Russians invaded. I was laughed at.
Faster.
I will not reveal all of my sources, but I will say this. We are at that necessary moment. So make your decision. Either go one way or go the necessary way.
All right. Thank you so much. All right. Well, that was an interesting ride. That's what we call in the world of debate a false dichotomy. Either Armageddon or Trump. I hope no one falls for that simplistic false dichotomy. So I remember when Nixon took the last vestiges of the gold standard away. Mind you, the first vestiges were taken away in the Great Depression, so it was a long, slow turn to get us off the gold standard. And the last bits went away, I think, in 1973. And libertarians then were saying, that's it. Chaos will rain down upon us any day, any year, any couple of years, any few years, any decade now. Inertia has a long time. You know, so the financial crash that takes down the planet, it will happen. And the financial ruin of what the Fed has done in monetary madness will happen. Will it happen this year? Maybe. Will it happen in 50 years? Likely. But I don't think it's going to happen right away. Recessions will happen. But financial Armageddon, as our last caller suggested, not right away. It's amazing the power of inertia. So the idea of Trump or Armageddon, no, that's when you start conflating Jesus and Trump. Let's not make that mistake, shall we? You might have saviors. I don't think Trump will be my savior. It's just an election. There's something about facing reality that many folks have when it comes to politics. Like they really believe that Ron Hanks would have been able to win the Senate seat. They actually believe that. I mean, more power to you, I suppose. You can believe whatever you want. It wouldn't have happened. But you go ahead and believe what you like if it makes you sleep better at night. You know, Trump is going to win. If that's what you want to believe, you know, go for it. Colorado is not a Trump state. Colorado is not an anti-abortion state. Colorado is not an anti-gay state. Colorado has changed. These are the realities. Given those realities, what does it mean? Does it mean that Colorado is a pro-tax state? I think I've been able to prove otherwise. I passed 2 tax cuts in the last couple of elections. We got some room here to work. I think we can make some reforms. But we have to work within political reality. All right, let's take a quick breather. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Keep it here, 710 KNUS. Welcome, good morning. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Let's call him Jorge. My number is 303-696-1971. A survey out from Wall Street Journal and a few others. They always pull a few resources together. They do a longitudinal. See, I can say that at 7:30 in the morning. Shows that Never before have Americans been so pessimistic about their children's future. I remember my father always saying that the generations always get better. That his life was better than his folks' lives, and that their lives were better than their parents' lives. And he looked at me and said, "Young man, your life is going to be better than mine." And sure as hell, my life has been much better than my father's life. Greatly due to my parents' hard work. My mom and dad worked and gave so much to their kids that I've had this magical, wonderful, incredible life. I grew up in Colorado. I've never worked a day in my life. Everything I do is something I enjoy. I've really had a blessed life. And it's all because all these people that have come before me who have done so much. And my job is to be a link in the chain and make sure my kids have an even better life. So they look back and go, "Man, my life was great. I want to do more to make sure my kids have an even better life." Something along those lines. But this survey over the last nearly 40 years has shown that basically Americans feel more pessimistic about their kids' future. That dream that we're working towards something where every generation gets a better quality of life, has more opportunity. And I've got to be honest, I worry about it too. Why? Because as a rule, we keep borrowing from our kids. Now, there are certain things you go into debt for. I've tried to explain to my daughter, hopefully the lesson has stuck, there's good debt and there's bad debt. Good debt is when you borrow money for things that appreciate in value. You go into debt to buy a home. And as you're paying it off, with a little bit of luck, it appreciates in value. You go into debt to start a business. It's a big risk, but hopefully the business appreciates in value. Bad debt is to go into debt to buy a television set, to buy a vacation. That's bad debt. Well, as a people, we've got into debt for a lot of bad stuff to make sure people can spend things now. I mean, you go into debt as a nation for good things. We went into debt to stop the Nazis and communists from taking us over. All right, that could be good debt. Maybe it's good debt to build a highway system. That can be good debt. Going into debt for Social Security, bad debt. It's just money out the door. In one door, out the other. It doesn't give a return. Are you better off than the last generation? My guess is you are. Do you think the next generation is going to be better off than you? 303-696-1971. Let's go to the phones. Good morning, Jim. You're with John Caldera. So glad to have you. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Jim. You're absolutely correct about the economy. There are people from all over the world clamoring to get into this nation to do one thing, is to work. Because we typically import workers, but all of a sudden have stopped. Now, the American people do not value work. They value money. And that's the basic problem. The American people, and maybe it's because it's Trump-tard Friday here. I'm hearing all this whining, but we have got it so wonderful in this country compared to the rest of the world with our financial system, with the number of available jobs. Unfortunately, we believe jobs are for immigrants, but we think we're better than them. However, 100 years ago, we were the immigrants, and all we wanted to do was work.
Which means that the people who are coming here to work in 100 years, they won't be the immigrants. They'll be the Americans.
There you go. You hit the nail on the head. And all this fear and all this rapture talk, because we have this fake religion from Captain Bankruptcy. Okay, listen, if every one of your so-called businesses goes into bankruptcy and the government has to bail you out, the IRS considers those hobbies. Hobbies are designed to not make money. So it's not a businessman that has one failing business after another for 40 years on end. So this rapturous go in the streets and protest in my namesake, destroy the two-party system, Donald Trump, will do nothing but empower the one-party, free-hugger liberals, and I'm done with it. These people need to realize that America is the greatest place on the world, the greatest place in the world. I've been all over the world, the military, and I can tell you right here and now, there's nothing better than this. However, we've conditioned everyone around us through the media, through whatever. We have all this spare time to stare at the television, and we now believe that success is sitting in a wheeled chair, deleting emails for a living. And if someone shows up to your door to do actual work, we believe that they're charging us too much. So we call another half dozen people to come and give us free estimates. Those people coming out and willing to do the work are the ones that empower this nation and value work more than money. Those are the real Americans rather than these whiny Trump-tards that have latched on.
All right. So let's slow down on the epithets for a second. As a guy who valued what Trump did and sympathized quite a bit with the frustration that Trump supporters have, I'm grateful that we've had Trump as president. I value all the things he did. I wish he won a second tour. It would have been spectacular. I would love to see the left go through conniptions. It would be just wonderful. That said, I don't care if his businesses went under. I don't care about his personality. I don't care what parts of a woman's anatomy he grabbed. I care what a president does in office. And when I say does, I don't mean says. I mean what he signs his name to. He signed his name to the right bills, and he signed his name to the right appointments. That's what I want. If I want the right guy to win. And if he could do it again, I would love it. Sadly, he can't.
No, he cannot.
It would sure
Trump
be fun.
Trump won for 2 years, but then he lost for 6 consecutive years. And now we're debating whether he can win again. Donald Trump brought us the dead guy, Joe Biden. There is no reason why we should have a Biden for president.
There's one other aspect about Donald Trump.
Hillary.
The reason Donald Trump had such a politically policy successful term is that the people he got into his administration, the Betsy DeVosses, the cabinet he was able to get in, the people that went into his office were incredible. What that meant is that these were the people who quit after January 6th, the people who will not go back. He will not be able to attract the same caliber of cabinet, the same caliber of appointees, the same caliber of people in a second term. You know, he will only be able to get sycophants to come back, and that's going to be too bad. Whereas, whether it's a Nikki Haley or a DeSantis, you will be able to find true policymakers, true reformers, who I think will be attracted into that administration. I think we could get real reformers in. It's okay. It's okay to get some fresh blood. I want disruptors in office. I want disruptors who can win. I got to go to a break. Jim, thanks for the call. Can the next generation have a better life than us? I think so. I really do. I'm John Caldera. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. Why is this poll the way it is? Why do nearly 80% of Americans believe that their kids will have it worse off than they do? Whereas in 1990, most Americans believed their kids would have a better life than they did. Why? I'm John Caldera, in for George. Keep it right here, 710 KNUS. Six minutes to the top. I'm John Caldera, in for George. I tell you what, before we dive back into this, let's find out what's going on in the wild world of the stock market with Brian Gray of Alpine Planning. Brian, tell us some news.
Good morning. Good morning, John. Good topics this morning. Really enjoying it. Tell you what, we have got some Wild West market so far this morning. Right now we got the Dow down 189 points, S&P's down 23, and the NASDAQ's down 65 points, so the choppiness continues for the week. One of the things we're seeing right now is cash is king. In the wake of the meltdown of SVB Bank, investors are running away from the markets, and they're starting to look at more liquid-type investments. And if you take a look at, and this is not a recommendation, but if you take a look at a lot of these online banks, right now they're paying anywhere from 3 to 4% depending on your account size for savings accounts. So we're starting to see a lot of money flow into there. The other thing that we're watching pretty closely is these protests that are happening overseas on the French Pension Reform Act. This continues to grow, and this is because of the backlash of them moving the retirement age back from 62 to 64. Now, this is going to be interesting to watch as our own Social Security system continues to struggle. And if you're one of these Americans that, you know, your retirement plan basically is two-thirds of your Social Security income that you're going to be receiving, you need to take a closer look at this because, you know, we've got some potential problems down the week. And then as far as these bouncy markets, John, we think it's going to continue for the next several months. Until some of the political, the interest rate, until some of these situations are figured out. But in the meantime, we always say just put that seatbelt on right now. Don't panic. Have a good plan and stick to it. And if you have some questions, by all means, give our office a call at Alpine Planning Group. We specialize in retirement planning. Everything that we do is custom tailored to the client. We got a lot going on right now, John, as you know, and people need to be informed. And if you're looking to ask some of those questions, give us a call at Alpine Planning Group. We'd love to sit down with you.
Thank you, Brian. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. So call them today at 303-843-0918.
That's Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Thank you. three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.